It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning. John, the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.tv on this December 3rd, 2022. I'm Mike Rickard. I'm head of the Hack Nation, teeing off this morning without Oscar Garner III. He's on a cruise in Mexico, and but I'll tee it off with John Rieger, our in-house professional. We're live right across the street from Tropicana Field, which has now become a winter wonderland in this 3rd of December, and 13th and Central, just a driver across from there. And as I like to say, for me, it's about a 13 wood, another 13, a pitching wedge, and then three putt. For John Rieger, it's a driver, a wedge, and he drops it for a birdie. We'll talk to John quickly here in a few minutes. We'll talk a little PGA. We'll talk a little, we'll talk Aussies. We'll go down under, and we'll talk about that. And then, of course, we got some great local events. Speaking of local events, in the event that you would like for a charity event, and we've dove into a lot of them, if you would like our celebrity caddy, big old Oscar Garner III, and our show to be live from your event, we will certainly do that. We've done it with First Tee. We've done it with Children's Miracle Fund. We've done it with several First Tees, and we've obviously that's a great cause. And we've also done it with the Super Bowl of Golf, and we'll do it again this year as well. And I'll tell you, a guy who doesn't golf, but he's with me, and he's got his red, white, and blue, is Ben Botham. He'll be on in the next hour. Good morning, young man.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, but you know what? I got to talk golf, but right now, talk about an electric environment as we get John Rieger on, as the U.S. soccer team is playing
the Dutch. The Netherlands.
I don't care. You call it the Dutch. I knew you'd do that. You call them the Dutch.
Hey, I'm okay with that. As long as we beat them, I know we're down right now 2-0 in the second half of the game, and hopefully we find a way to rally back and get a win here.
Well, as soon as we get done with the golf show, our first segment will be an analysis of what takes place, and I don't know how many minutes are left, but we've got a rally, and I do know this, that the Dutch had five guys that had the flu, so hopefully we'll wear them out. But we opened up early down here at Ferg's today, 9 a.m., and when I got down here to set up our studio, there was cars and people everywhere. This is an electric, exciting time down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And 13th and Central is very electric today.
Oh, are you kidding me, Mike? I was driving around for about 30 minutes before I got here trying to find a parking spot.
Well, out back we've got a dog park, obviously. Santa Claus is there today. And from 2 to 4, you can bring your little mutt. I'm sorry, your dog, and have pictures taken with Santa Claus.
Are you going to sit on Santa's lap, Mike?
Yeah. Well, I know who Santa is. I'm certainly not. And he's bringing his little elf, who I know very well, too. So I'm going to stay away from them. But people are dog crazy down here. Oh, bring your dog on our pirate ship. You got to come down and see this, even if you're not a dog person. And, yeah, but it is a little bit bizarre.
I saw back there they had dog mohawks. Like a little magnetic thing you could attach to your dog so it looked like it had a colorful mohawk.
They've got dog CBD oil gummies. I told Kenny, my buddy here, I said, why don't you get a couple of those gummies and you'll start barking like a dog and humping people's legs as they walk by.
Hey, the dogs are going to have more fun than we are, Mike. Are you kidding me? They're going to have those gummies all in.
Oh, my God. I can't believe how spoiled they actually are. Let's talk about a little bit about the leaderboards. Of course, we have got the Hero Challenge, and that's down in the Bahamas. And right now, on the top of that leaderboard, you got Victor Hovland. He is sitting at 5 under. Colin Morikawa, Cam Young, Scotty Scheffler, and Xander Schauffele all sit at 4 under. They're tied for second. The Australian Open, we'll talk a little bit about that with John Rieger. And then, of course, on the 10th, the Pelican Club, just north of where we're at in Bel Air, it is the match. And that is Rory and Tiger as they take on Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And we're looking forward to covering that. We were hoping to sneak on the grounds. It's amazing. It's only a week away. And John Rieger joins me now. And how are you, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great. What a wonderful Saturday to be on the radio to talk golf. I know that we always start off the John Rieger Golf Report with a weather report from Wild Bill's Golf Weather Channel. And Tampa Bay, it's 76 degrees, and it feels like 76 degrees. 63% humidity, winds out of the east-northeast, UV index at 4, so you better put that sunscreen on. Cloud cover 5%, no chance of rain. So this is a great day to be out on the golf course, have your phone on to listen to our show, have another phone to be able to watch the Dutch wander around Fergs with their wooden shoes, trying to stick their finger into the dike to see if they can hold off the American team. So we're going to rely on Ben to give us live updates throughout the thing. Heck, he might even give us some Elon Musk Twitter updates while we're at it. So it's great to have Ben on board this morning, and look forward to his input later on. But you were talking about the Hero Challenge, and there's some things about the tournament that have kind of gone slipped through the cracks as far as the world of golf to understand this particular tournament and the ramifications of it. You know, there's only 20 players in the field, so it's an invitational, but they have 15 of the top 20 in the world playing in this golf tournament. So obviously it's a Tiger Woods tournament. He's not able to play, but yet he is the host. And they have changed how the world's top golfers are ranked when it comes to getting into this tournament. And it used to be where you would get into this tournament based on the ranking, your world ranking. Now this tournament, they use a strokes game formula, which to me is I still don't understand it. I hear it all the time on the stats that when you watch the PGA Tour and they talk about strokes gain and they give some sort of number with a couple digits after it. I'm not sure what that is. We'll have to do some more studying to be ready for 2023. But this is a formula they're going to use for ranking players for the big invitationals in the field. And you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about today, there's always the phrase of the day, okay? And when we talk about the phrase of the day, we're talking about things that have to do with what's going on in the world of golf. And one of the phrases is, I think it's called plantar fasciitis. I'm going to have to look this up again. I'm trying to do this by memory. And obviously, you know, we're going to have to rely on our medical staff to be able to come up with it. But essentially what we're talking about is Tiger Woods' foot. That's what we're talking about right now. And that's what's keeping him out of the Hero Tournament. But he is going to be playing in the upcoming PNC Championship. And he's also going to also play in another event called The Match, which we're not able to get our celebrity host here, Mike Rickford, and even the bus table. So I would suggest you sit down at Ferd's that night and watch what's going to happen.
Isn't it plantar fasciitis?
That's it. That's fantastic. That's the phrase of the week. That's why Tiger is not playing in the Hero Challenge. In fact, I saw on social media today, Charlie's playing in some sort of junior tournament this past week or whatever, and Tiger caddy for him again. And, you know, I mean, it's an impressive job that Tiger does as a caddy. He's cleaning the club. He's giving yardages. He's carrying the bag. My goodness, you talk about, having the world's best golfer on your bag in a junior golf tournament. You know, it's got to be pretty intimidating for the other parents, you know, caddying for their kids. Here comes Tiger walking up carrying a bag for his son, Charlie.
Well, the thing that probably would be a little concerning is all of the fans that want to go to these events just to see Tiger, and it can be a little disconcerting for these other youngsters, I would think.
Well, you know, they don't really get that much when it comes to that. I remember as a junior golfer, I mean, this dates me a long time ago, but when I was a junior golfer, Jack Nicklaus's kids would play in the junior tournaments, especially Jackie the Second. You know, he is Jack Nicklaus's older son, and you'd be playing in a junior tournament, and here comes Jack Nicklaus walking up, with his son. And, to us as junior golfers, and I know to the parents, and especially if I became a parent and my kids played junior golf, is you notice that it's just another parent. You know, they're supporting their kid, and that's what the game of golf is. It just happens to be Tiger Woods this week in your thing. But, you know, people leave them alone and they go play, and, you know, and the kids make friends with each other and the parents get to know Tiger a little bit. They get to see a whole different side. They're not starstruck. They're just appreciative that he's out there supporting his kid for junior golf just like they support theirs.
You know, I read a couple articles this week regarding Tiger's his leg, and the reality of it is, and he was very candid, and it was a conversation with the New York Post, that he's come to the realization that he can play the four majors, or that's his goal, and then two other tournaments, and that's all that his leg is going to be able to sustain. And actually, what has stopped him from playing this week is caused by some of the adjustments he's had to make because his leg is in the condition that it's in.
Well, you know, for our listeners out there, if you follow us on social media, keyword John Rager Golf or just on the Tee Florida, those are the two keywords, add or hashtag. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. We put out a daily golf report. And so on these daily golf reports, it deals with these subjects. And one of the best things we do with our golf report is we like to highlight some of the top golf writers and broadcasters and personalities in the game of golf. You actually link right to their website to read some interesting things. And so this week, one of the golf reports we put out there was from Jeff Shackelford. And he has a Substack called The Quadrilateral. Now, Jeff is like one of the top golf writers out there. He's authored many books, and, you know, and he produces the stuff. He produces things that you can read what he has to say. It's just about softball, powder puff stuff. It's actually, he does a lot of investigative journalism, and he really gets down to the heart of the matter. And if you want to, our listeners out there, if you want to learn more about it, just go to the John Rager Golf Report on any four of those social media. Again, you find it at John Rager Golf or at On the Tee Florida, and what you will come up with is links to these wonderful stories out there. And Jeff Shackelford covered that Tiger Woods press conference, and you're right. Just like they said, where you know, Tiger is only going to focus on the major championships and a few other things. And one of the interesting things came up during the press conference is talking about the use of golf carts. So the two exhibitions coming up, the PNC coming up in the match, he gets to use a golf cart. But he refuses to use a golf cart in a regular sanctioned PGA Tour event. And there's a lot of controversy with this because Casey Martin, now this is 20 years ago, Casey Martin actually played golf on the golf team with Tiger. And Casey got good enough to win on the what's known as the Korn Ferry Tour now and actually to be able to compete on the PGA Tour. But he took the tour to court because you know, he needed to ride the golf cart. There's no way he could compete. And through the American for Disabilities Act, the PGA Tour granted it, but he never really took advantage of that. And Tiger was, you know, highly critical of it. Well, now Tiger's the one that needs a golf cart. And do you know that, like, our friend John Daly, who gets to play in the PGA Championship every year by virtue of being a past champion, he rode in a golf cart. You know, he almost made the cut this year, even though he's a senior golfer. But he rode in the golf cart. Nobody had any problem with that, so... You know, I'm not sure if the world's going to change for Tiger. He might have too much ego to ride in a golf cart. Arnold Palmer was the same way. Arnold Palmer was a driving force of the Champions Tour to get rid of the golf carts for the while and make everybody walk. So that's one of the things that remains to be seen for Tiger. So we'll probably see him ride in the golf cart during the exhibitions and try to muddle through walking these golf courses, you know, probably five or six times a year is all we're going to see him.
You're listening on the Tee Florida. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios down here at 13th and Central on a spectacular first weekend of December as Christmas is just upon us. We're talking to John Rieger up in Crescent Beach, Florida. And of course, this conversation is brought to you by Big Storm Brewery. We got some exciting news coming out of there. Got a lot of exciting news relative to our sponsors. Going to meet with Ice Pick on Monday, and we're going to roll out some very exciting interactive opportunities for our audience, whether down here at Ferg's or over at Sea Dogs. And of course,
just so everybody knows, we're talking vodka out there, Ice Pick vodka. We're not talking about a rapper or a hitman for the mafia. We're talking about vodka, Ice Pick vodka.
And it's very smooth. And I know I'm looking right now at Kenny Knowles, my unofficial editor and producer, and he has got a Bloody Mary with ice pick vodka in it right now. And I think he's on his third, and it's 11:20. But we opened at 9, so I'm giving him that out. Hey, let's go back to the Casey Martin situation. Of course, they were teammates at Stanford for the Cardinal, and that was a nice team too. Noah Begay. I think it's his pride that's the factor with Tiger, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think it's because he was so vocal about it, he probably thinks, well, I sure as hell can't jump into a cart at this point in my career.
Well, I think what it has to stem from is that there's always been a stigma for years. It's not anymore. You know, Tiger is a true athlete. Okay, golfers today are true athletes. Now, even in the days of Arnold Palmer and Sam Snead and Ben Hogan and they were built, you know, they could play linebacker in the NFL. Okay, they were built, they were strong, but golfers generally were a lot softer as athletes. They didn't train as hard. You know, Gary Player changed a lot of that early on. He was the pioneer in that. You know, Gary's in his late 80s now, and he does 100, you know, sit-ups a day and push-ups and things like that, physically fit. But golfers for years have always been slighted that, well, you guys aren't real athletes. You know, they're not, you know, yeah, athletes are basketball players and football players and tennis players. You know, you have to run around. You got to kick a ball in soccer. Well, you know, golfers, they realize that all the top athletes in the world, like Michael Jordan, for example, you know, they want to be golfers when they get done with their sport. And they really quickly realize what athletes, tremendous athletes, golfers really are. However, what happens is that you got to walk, because if you don't walk and you're riding a golf cart, that has a lot to do with stamina, has a lot to do with the stability of your swing, the flexibility, all the different things that go into being a good athlete. Well, it's a test, and 72 holes of golf is a test, and you got to pass that test. And so you probably should walk, or otherwise, you know, golfers might not be considered athletes. But, you know, I contend that, you know, especially in this day and age, I think the average golf fan, just like with Arnold Palmer, just like with Tiger Woods, they won't mind him riding in a golf cart. Now, his competition will. The Tiger goes out there and wins a PGA Tour event, and he's riding in the golf cart. All the other players will be grumbling about it, but they, you know, they had to temper that with the fact that their bank accounts have jumped up tremendously ever since Tiger Woods got on the tour.
Hey, let's go back to you mentioned a name, Michael Jordan, and I always thought this was comical when. When Tiger Woods exploded on the scene, you know, and the athletes saw him, he was, you know, he was just a skinny kid, and they used to call him Urkel behind the scenes, and it just infuriated him. And they said the same thing. You're an athlete. You're just a golfer. And that's what inspired him. He was hanging out with Charles Barkley. I don't know how much inspiration he would be with Barkley and Jordan and several other, you know, marquee world-class athletes. And obviously he's right up there with them now, but that's what inspired him, John. I read that on several occasions, and Jordan even admitted that we used to just pimp the hell out of him. And that was a good portion of what he did, and he overdid it in the gym, some think, but that was the motivating factor for Tiger Woods to be as fit as he is and look like, you know, he could play wide receiver for Stanford or the Niners.
Hey, moving on, another John Rager Golf Report this week had to deal with stats. And for our listeners out there, there's a guy named Lou Stagner, and he's not called King of the Golf Stats, but I just gave him that name. And this gentleman puts out golf stats that really make a lot of sense. And the reason they make sense is you discover things. For example, from 100 yards in, PGA Tour players, the best in the world, only hit it within like 10 feet 25% of the time. So you think about that for a second. You know, this is a hard game, so the average golfer, you know, you're just lucky to get it on the green, you know, from 100 yards, much less, you know, don't get, you know, irritated if you don't hit it close. Well, he came out with a stat that caught the attention of Justin Thomas. You know, Justin Thomas, two-time PGA of America championship winner. And what happened was, is Lou did this stat, and he's talking about the time of day, as the day goes on, the conditions of the greens seriously affect how many putts are made. And now, I grew up in the days of metal spikes. I mean, you don't have spikes anymore. You have soft spikes. The PGA Tour still allows spikes. But you also are allowed to tamp down spike marks as the rules of golf. They changed that a few years ago. But very few tour players actually wear spikes out there. But so everything's soft spikes or spikeless shoes. But in my days, you had spike marks, and you had people that dragged their feet across the greens, and you're playing in a professional event. And, you know, if you got the early morning tee time, you could always putt better, because if you had that afternoon tee time, it'd be so irritating because you'd miss a couple 3-foot putts just because of his spike mark and bounce off. You weren't allowed to tamp them down. So I posted the chart that Lou put out there, and he was talking about putting make rates by the time of day. And he did this from 2004 to 2021, tour players only. And he concluded, now this sounds logical, that foot traffic and grass growth throughout the day makes it tougher to putt. Well, this caught the attention of Justin Thomas, because he's always complaining about that, but people say, ah, you're just whining. Well, this just validated his thought. He tweeted out, this is fascinating. Timing of the day has a big difference, is how he wrote, on good or bad the greens are. Just defending myself and others when we all use it as an excuse. And so, you know, I'm looking at things, and you're talking about if you tee off and you play golf at 7:59 or earlier, okay? Well, from 2.5 feet in, which is kind of amazing, that's not a very long putt. Those are the putts we all give each other. We call it in the leather, meaning from the distance from the putter head to the grip. It's in the leather.
I say pick it up.
Yeah, tour pros, they make that putt 99% of the time. Okay? All right, well, that makes sense. And even at 5 o'clock in the day, it goes down to 98.8%. Well, you think about that, well, that doesn't sound like much of a percentage difference. But you know how one shot makes the world of difference whether you're winning or losing the tournament. You see how close it is. Well, you know, it really starts dramatically changing with feet. For example, from 8.5 feet out. Now, here's a statistic I didn't realize, but I really looked at it. So it doesn't, you know, so if you play golf earlier before 8 o'clock on the PGA Tour and you're 8.5 feet away, do you know you only make that putt, the world's best players only make that putt 50.6% of the time? Think about that. I mean, only 50.6% of the time. These are the world's best players. You're only 8 feet away. That's like, you know, just a couple of big paces away from the hole, and the world's best players only make that putt half the time. So what about us mere mortals out there? We get down into 5 o'clock or later, it drops to 47.4%. So we're talking almost a 4% drop in people making the putts from earlier to later. Well, it kind of makes sense, the foot traffic and this, that, and the other. But now they got the stats. So I recommend to our listeners out there, when you follow the John Rager Golf Report and you find us with On the Tee Florida or John Rager Golf keywords, go to Twitter, follow this guy, Lou Stagner. He is truly the king of golf stats out there. And he puts it out there. And the reason why it's a benefit for an average golfer, because it gives you realistic expectations what to think about. You know, we all play in scrambles and we think we all should be hitting the, you know, from 100 yards in, we normally have a big boomer off the tee, and we normally have somebody that can get up there, you know, and hit it close. But unless it's a PGA Tour player, you're only going to get it really close, you know, 1 out of 4 times. You're only going to have like 4 or 5 times during the round that you're actually going to get it that close to the hole. And so, you know, a lot of times you get bummed out if you're, you know, you're only 12 under par, you know, and the winning teams are always 18 or 19 under par because you didn't hit it close enough. So, luck of the draw, but that's a big stat. So follow Lou Stagner, king of the golf stats out there, at Lou Stagner, S-T-A-G-N-E-R. Follow the John Rager Golf Report out there. You'll link right to it. And have some fun and manage your expectations as a golfer before you tee it up the next time.
And that's why we have the great John Rieger on the Tee Florida, because I am the hack, and we're going to take the hack and the pro are going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheimer is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida on this December 3rd, 2022. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. And the USA just tied the... But didn't we tie? No, we're down 2-1. Oh. Well... We're rallying. Let's just say that. So there's an update for you, John Rigger.
Well, that's fantastic. I hope we can come back and do it. Hey, has anybody ever heard of Dr. Pepper? Well, Dr. Pepper is something you may want to put some ice pick buck in right now, but I'm going to talk about Dottie Pepper. And Dottie Pepper is a famous LPGA touring professional. And most viewers and listeners out there know Dottie from being an announcer for CBS Sports or NBC and walking down the fairways and being the on-course reporter. She's won 17 LPGA events, including several major championships. And the reason I'm bringing Dottie Pepper up is this, is on Monday, you have Cyber Monday, you know, and I always like to pick out and try to help somebody out there on a wonderful gift. Well, this is a book that if you're a parent and you've got a child that plays golf, whether they play junior golf tournaments or not, just any child that plays golf, you need to read this book. It's called Letters to a Future Champion, and it's authored by Dottie Pepper. And this book talks about letters that she had discovered during the pandemic. You know, they weren't broadcasting golf tournaments, and she had a lot of time on her hand. So her golf instructor passed away, and she went ahead and started looking through the letters that she actually sent to her golf instructor from tournaments. You know, because Dottie was, you know, she was a junior golf phenom, and this golf, you know, and she calls her golf professional instructor, Mr. Pulver. And so what she did is she would write him a letter after every tournament, and wherever she was, and he would write her back. And so he took all the letters that she wrote, and she took all the letters that he wrote, and she put them together in a book, and it was a fascinating experience. And it's not so much just about trying to chronicle the trials and tribulations of a junior golfer. There's a lot of wonderful lessons about life. And for Dottie, it made a huge impact. And it's one of those books, it's not a book that's going to teach you how to go out and shave 5 shots off your score. It's not one of those books that's going to be out there to, you know, bring some revelations on, you know, what this person was like when they were a kid. No, this is a book about life. And it's a book about golf, and it mingles both together. So what you want to do to get this book, you go to DottiePepper.net. All right, so if you go to DottiePepper.net, you'll see the book. again, I highly recommend a book like this for everybody. Now, Dottie, you know, as she gets later on in life, you know, she's mellowed out quite a bit. She was a fiery competitor. I'm going to tell a quick Dottie Pepper story. And I was over at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and you know, we would do a radio show during the week, you know, and interview players and stuff like that. So, but if you wanted to hang around the tournament, she was working for NBC Sports at the time. They would pay you like $100 a day to be a gopher. And so my assignment was to drive her around during the tournament as she's the on golf course announcer. And so it's Thursday, and it's the first day, and they have a production meeting. So it's Gary Koch and Dottie Pepper and Peter Jacobson and Mark Rolfing, all the you know, and Johnny Miller. They were all the broadcasters at the time for NBC Sports. And my job was to be there outside that production meeting. And the moment that Dottie ran out, I was her personal cart driver. And I'm going to drive her around. So the production meeting's over. She gets in the golf cart. She looks at me and goes, "Who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm your person that's going to be driving you around the golf course." She goes, "I don't need a bleeping golf cart driver. Get out of the cart now." And off she went. So I'm stunned. I'm like, "Well, my goodness. Now what do I do?" So I had this TV badge, and it was all assets. So you could go anywhere you want to and do anything. So there was an extra golf cart there. I drove around the Arnold Palmer Invitational for 4 days watching all the players. I learned how to stay out of the eyesight of the TV people. I had the TV badge. Nobody can figure out what I'm doing out there. And it was great. I go and stop at the media center every once in a while and get a beverage and a sandwich and chill out a little bit. And so I spent 4 days driving a golf cart. In fact, the last two rounds, Tiger won that year, and I got to watch Tiger Woods play 36 holes, and I was in a golf cart, and it was just fantastic. So at the time, I was like, "Oh, that Dottie," but now, you know, down the road, and I told her the story later at a PGA of America annual meeting. She ended up being on the board of the PGA of America, the board of directors. She laughed at that, and but it was a good way. Now, you know, we're best of friends now. It's a great way to get to meet her, and I'm glad she kicked my butt out of the cart because I had a great time.
Well, I'm glad that you said she was, you guys are friends now, because I had my own opinion of her, but I'll keep that to myself. I just had heard she was a little difficult to deal with and a bit abrasive, and that's from my friends that are involved in PGA golf. But I'm glad that...
Well, you know, Mike, and it's true about a lot of players, you know, and when they're younger. Yeah, they are. There's some fiery individuals out there that very are, you know, but, you know, time mellows people out, and she's mellowed out quite a bit. And, you know, I know if she looks back on things, she might, you know, regret a few things of being, you know, caustic with people, this, that, and the other. But at the same time, as she has learned and she's grown as an individual, she's become a wonderful person, and she's really helped mentor a lot of young girls playing golf now. And she, you know, when she's on the broadcast team on the golf course and you go out to Dottie to assess the situation. She knows what she's talking about, so it's great to hear her. But yeah, a little rocky start for me too at the beginning, but all is good.
John, it's time for a Ben Botham Big Storm World Cup report.
Well, it's not looking good for Team USA right now. The Netherlands just scored another goal, putting it up 3-1. Unfortunately. It looks like the soccer player for the Netherlands kind of crossed up our goalie and put one in the left side of the net on a little breakaway down the field, unfortunately. So USA's back to square one, needing to put up at least two more goals to catch back up.
And what's the clock on?
The clock is at 82 minutes.
Oh, hell.
7 seconds.
This thing's just about over.
It's getting there, but we still
Eight
have
minutes,
penalty time. You know, hopefully that gives us a little bit, you know.
All right. Well, thanks for that update.
Hey, Ben, I want to ask you a question. Is it true that the Dutch team had to pay their own way to the World Cup? Yeah, they paid their own expenses?
You know, I have no clue on that. I'll do some quick research
find out. Yeah.
The reason I bring that up, that's what we used to call in America, going Dutch.
You're a clown.
I know. Ben's a little too young for that. I know he does. You know, going Dutch, it used to be, Ben, where... You'd have a date, you'd pay for your meal, and she'd pay for hers. So that was going Dutch.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't meet any Dutch women in my my upbringing, and I really haven't met one in my lifetime.
Neither have I. I'd like to meet one of those.
Yeah, I'd like some of those Dutch women that you were hanging around with back in the day there, John Rieger. Probably because you were
you have to massage your feet a lot because they wear those wooden shoes, hard on their feet.
Yeah, all right. So we digress. Who's the most popular Dutch golfer of all time?
Yeah, that's going to be a trivia question that we'll have to answer next week. That's our trivia question of the week. And maybe we need to bring that up for next week. Who is the most popular Dutch golfer of all time?
Well, let's go back to Tiger Woods and Charlie and what's going to take place. My God, time is flying. The Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando. And of course, it's the PNC Championship. And have you attended that before?
Yes, I have. It's a wonderful event. What makes it wonderful is that it's a family kind of thing. It started out as a father-son tournament, but they quickly digressed into father-daughters and different combinations because it's turned into more of a family event. And it may be the most looked forward to event of any of those pros that play, whether they're a senior tour pro. A lot of them are champion tour pros because they have children old enough to be able to play at that level. And you know what? The eligibility is that you can't be a PGA Tour pro and pair with a PGA Tour pro. So, for example, Jay Haas and his nephew Bill Haas, they can't play together. So one person has to be a PGA Tour pro or Champions Tour pro, LPGA, and the other person cannot be on any established tours. So that's what makes it special. You know, the golf is interesting where last year, I watched that last year, and it was a fantastic finish, a duel between John Daly the second, and Tiger and Charlie. And Charlie just absolutely stole the show, Charlie gets to tee it up way out there. So Tiger get out there and hit a tee shot, and hit his Sunday best. And Charlie just blew it right by him. Charlie was singing Linda Ronstadt song all day long. I blew by you. He just blew it right by his dad because Charlie got to play the up tees. So if Charlie's getting older, they might move him back a little bit.
I may have been the only one that caught that.
I know. We've got to kind of keep the young people. We got to move them move them backwards to our generation so they can understand our corny humor.
Hey, let's talk about. Can you believe it's a week from today, the match up at the Pelican? Let's talk a little bit about that. Then we'll take a break and we'll come down and talk more about the Hero and of course the Australian Open.
Well, yes, and let's just do talk about that match because it's going to be a very wonderful championship in the sense that it's an exhibition event. And it's made for television, and it's going to be at night. It's going to be on December 10th. It's going to be at the Pelican Golf Club, and it starts at like 6:30 at night. So what happens is it's completely played in the dark, and they're going to play 12 holes out there, and they're going to raise money for the Florida Hurricane Relief Fund set up by Governor DeSantis and his wife, Casey DeSantis. There's monies that are desperately needed by the folks. They just got devastated on the southwest portion of the Florida coast and also on the eastern portion with not only from Ian that hit the southwest portion, but Nicole, Ian's little sister, that plummeted us on the east coast. So there's some people need some money. So they're all coming together to play this, I mean, the last thing in the world everybody needs to be doing, these guys, is go play in an exhibition this time of year. This is their time off. This is when they get together with their families, this and the other. But they felt compelled enough, hey, let's come to Florida. Let's do it. So you've got Tiger and Rory. Now, Rory's the number one player in the world, so they gave him Tiger, okay? And against Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, so it's interesting how they did the pairing. So I guess Rory's going to have to try to carry Tiger along this golf course. We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, when you take a look at this format, I don't think they've typically played on a Saturday night, which is good because it's kind of a downtime of the year. Actually, the NFL shifts their schedule and starts playing some Saturday games, but college football will be almost completely shut down until the bowl games begin, and that's about the 20th of December. So they'll get superb ratings on NBC on a Saturday night.
Well, actually, just to let you know, another cleanup on aisle 5, it's actually TNT TNT and TBS, Warner Brothers, Discovery, they're all putting it together there. So it's the match is something that's a TNT broadcast out there, and it's going to be wonderful to watch. I'm sure Ferg's gets TNT down there, and hopefully they'll have some Drake specials for folks to come on down and watch it.
All right, my friend, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Hero. We'll talk to the Australian Championship. As we wind things down in our last segment on the Tee Florida, we'll be right back from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the Tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back as we wind things down. We're on number 17 right now. I've got Kenny. Oh, well, we're saving the who is the best Dutch player of all time for next week. Anyway, we're brought to you by Coppertail Brewing down here. I want to do a shout out to Will Law, the local Coppertail Brewing representative and a friend of mine. He had a brain tumor removed about a month ago, and he's rallying. So my thoughts and prayers, and everybody at Ferg's loves you, brother. So get well. And that's Will Law with Coppertail Brewing, and they're a good sponsor and supporter of On the Tee and the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Now let's dive into our Ice Pick Vodka leaderboard again, and I'll go over that real quickly. From the Hero, of course, right now on the leaderboard, Victor Hovland, he's the reigning champ. He sits at 5-under. Colin Morikawa, Cam Young, Scotty Scheffler, world number 2, and Xander Schauffele, they all sit at 4-under, tied for second. And it's a tough track as I watch it, John.
Hey, you know, while you're going over these scores, I want to make sure our listeners don't forget about what's going on in the land down under in Australia. Now, we know that last week, the Australian PGA Championship was won by Cam Smith, and 72-hole event, and it was a very emotional time for Cam because, obviously, he went on to the LIV Golf Tour, and at being the Open champion from this year, the British Open, the Open Championship winner, champion golfer of the year, they call him, now he won that Australian PGA Championship in his home country, obviously. Very emotional time. But also, there's something going on down there the next week, and it's something of interest. And I want to give you a leaderboard update and tell you about what's so special about this. So they're having the Australian Open, okay? So this is like, in America, they have the PGA Championship, then they have the U.S. Open, right? So there, this is like their U.S. Open, the Australian Open, of course, right? But there's something happening. And what's happening is there's a men's and women's events at the same time, and they're playing together. So Adam Scott is leading right now in the Australian Open. So he's at, you know, he's a famous Aussie and you know, master champion. He's with a score of 201, so he's 15 under par for three rounds, pretty amazing. And then Adrian Murdoch, this guy's from Poland. So you got some guy from Poland one shot behind Adam Scott. Then Minwoo Lee, the awesome LPGA Tour player and major championship winner, is four shots back at 205. So one of the things about this tournament, which it sounds kind of interesting, is that it may change the way, or the way people think about golf and golf tournaments, where you let the men and women play together. And we do this already with the PGA of America. In our section, we have a women's championship and a men's championship, but we also combine them together. So we have a female section champion this year in the North Florida section. Well, you know, that's happening at PGA sections all over the country. Susie Whaley, who was the past president of the PGA of America, well, she actually played in the men's PGA Tour event because she won their section championship up in Connecticut. Now, they play the separate tees and stuff, but they do adjust it for distance and stuff, and the men are fine with that. And she was their section champion, and she got to play the TPC tournament, TPC Hartford up there. You know, and this was about 10, 15 years ago. This is about the same time where Annika got to play in the Colonial Tournament on the PGA Tour. So if you take a look at it, they're actually mixing the men and women together to crown a Australian Open championship. Not a bad idea. Maybe the PGA Tour and the LPGA ought to look into that a little bit more. And if not, LIV Golf certainly should look into that. Because I think that, you know, the men and the women, even though you have to have separate tees and different distances and stuff like that, we get that. But you can adjust it, and you get to a point that it's very competitive, and that's what the beauty of the game of golf is, especially through the, you know, with the World Golf Handicap System. You know, Mike, you could go and play up, tee it up with Tiger Woods right now. Tiger would have to give you like 55 shots for 18 holes, but you could play against him and feel like it's an even Steven match.
Well, I just hit the double sixes. I just hit Route 66 this week on the calendar of life, and I would need 66, not 55, John.
Well, I can tell you that if as long as your handicap matches your age, you're gonna be beating everybody.
Yeah. Well, once you see my game, you'll agree. You will agree that I need every stroke that I'm given. Hey, going back to this Aussie event too, and very cool. You know, we talk handicap in the world of golf, but the reality is they also are having the special needs and handicap people are participating amongst these professionals, the men and the women. It's really cool.
Well, actually, yeah, in the world of golf, and it's happened at Pinehurst earlier this year, they actually had their very first, I believe, and I'll have to do a little bit more research on it because I hadn't really think about that for our show today, but maybe that next week I'll definitely talk about this. But they have a adaptive golf championship. Now, adaptive golf, and I've worked with adaptive golfers. I had the great pleasure in Tampa at the Terrace Hill Golf Center to work with a deceased pro now. His name is Ken June, but Ken was a pioneer in working with adaptive golfers from the Veterans Hospital. So you have a lot of these veterans that, you know, that come out of the hospital, and a lot of them are depressed and having challenges, this, that, and the other, and golf literally has saved thousands of lives of these veterans who were injured during the various wars we've been in, to the point that, you know, I've learned how to work with golfers with one arm and one leg or no legs or brain injuries, or they're completely paralyzed and they can just use their hands at all. And I tell you what, it's the joy that you see on these people's faces, men and women, as these veterans and these adaptive golfers that have come out there. There's even big golf carts embedded now. One of them's out of Tampa called Solar Rider, where you can just drive your golf cart. If you can't walk, you just drive your golf cart on the green. It won't hurt the green at all, and you can still play the game of golf. So the USGA, I think, had their first championship this year at Pinehurst, and the U.S. Adaptive Golf Championship, and they had all kinds of, they had a variety of different flights, you know, for people who had different disabilities. I used to work a lot with amputee golfers back in Tampa when I first started the golf business, and we used to host the National Amputee Championship. And I remember I played golf with a guy named Rusty Redfern in the Pro-Am. So I was the pro, and they gave me four amputee golfers to play with. Rusty was born without any arms. He had one little nub on his left, so he had gun butts put on the end, like rifle butts on the end of a golf club, and he did everything with his feet. He could tee it up, and he could hit it. And he broke 100 in the Pro-Am, and he didn't play any up tees either. And I looked at that, and I realized that, wow, that's pretty inspirational. So I'm glad you brought up adaptive golf, and we'll talk about that next week, and we'll throw it out there on the John Rager Golf Report. So for listeners out there, if you want to learn more about that, on the Tee Florida or John Rager Golf, those are the keywords, hashtag or at, and you can find these reports, and we talk about them every week on our show.
Quick update from Ben Botham on our Ice Pick World Cup report.
So unfortunately, Team USA falls to the Netherlands today, 3-1. They got 6 extra minutes of penalty time, and unfortunately, our journey to the World Cup comes to an end, and Team USA will have to wait till 2026 for their next shot at the Cup.
Thank you, man. Well, I guess what's going to happen now is the Dutch lager is going to go on sale 3-for-1 happy hour at Ferg's. And you got to move that stuff out of here. It's going to be 4 years before you want to drink that again.
Yeah, and I know who will be responsible for getting it out there. A lot of times I take the excess inventory up and down 13th to welcome our new business partners down here on the edge. And it'll be a Dutch lager, as you said.
Hey, talking about samples out there, Wild Bill Sereau, he's got the Yank and Crank care gift coming your way. So it'll be out this next week. So you'll be able to, you know, go ahead for the Follicly Challenge, be able to cover your head up and some of the young guys to know what Yank and Crank's all about. So look for that next week.
All right. We only got about 4 minutes. What I wanted to say real quickly is that track down there in Albany in Bermuda is a tough run for these guys.
Well, you know, the best players in the world, they like the tough tracks, just like with the Valspar Championship coming up in Tampa at Innsbruck in March. The best players in the world really love the tough tracks because it separates the wheat from the chaff. You'll have to explain that to Ben after the show's over. But, you know, what it does is the best players in the world really like challenging golf courses, and it certainly is one of them, and that's probably why they've got 15 of the top 20 players in the world. It's a limited event. You know, you don't get as many world golf points as you think, but Tiger's involved with it. But it really is good for their game, and golf's become a year-round thing, and I know it used to be that the players would take a lot of time off this time of year. I think they do it during certain times of the year now, but the schedule is laid out. As a PGA Tour player, you know, you're going to have to, you know, even live golf. It's a year-round thing. So sometimes in the middle of the year, they got to take a break to do that. But this particular tournament, they like it. Plus, Albany in the Bahamas, that is a very, very sweet place to be. Wonderful place. If you ever get a chance to go to the Bahamas and you get to go play Albany, wonderful experience.
Real quickly, you know, one of the cool things I saw about it on the Golf Channel yesterday was they have a world class studio for music production. You've had Alicia Keys, you've had Usher, and just some superb. And these are the same guys that designed the Abbey Road studio in London. And just a nice little. Interesting factoid. And Drake, he just got done doing an album down there.
Well, you know, I always wondered about the Abbey Road thing. Is I wonder if Paul McCartney is truly alive or if it's an imposter. We'll have to add that to our trivia questions.
All right, my friend. Well, I certainly appreciate your input. You did a superb job with your statistics, your history. Tell people one more time how they get a hold of you on social media, and we'll wind things down.
Okay, so for... find us both there on the Tee Florida, John Rager Golf Report. All you got to do is you go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, you go to LinkedIn, you go to Instagram. I have a daily post out there. Interesting stuff. I'm not going to waste your time. Interesting stuff that you'd like to read and look at and learn more about, not your common stuff. And all you got to do is keywords John Rager Golf or on the Tee Florida, either add or hashtag. You'll find a whole plethora of things you can entertain yourself and learn more about golf.
All right, from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Ricker for John Rager, Joe Berdow, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. Stay tuned for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection next. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Always remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.